The Department of Defense has created a new certificate to award to as many as 500,000 veterans who were exposed to radiation during nuclear weapons tests between 1945 and 1992. But as WUSF Stephanie Colombini reports, the move is leaving many of these atomic veterans underwhelmed.
84-year-old Tom Bocci of Ormond Beach, Florida, is flipping through a scrapbook he keeps of old pictures and articles about his time in the Air Force.
This was our flight crew here, and that's me.
He never went to war, but he still feels like he was part of history. In 1958, Bocci was involved in dozens of atomic tests on the Eniwetok Atoll in the Pacific. He serviced planes that flew through mushroom clouds after explosions, while he and his comrades watched in awe from the island maybe 10 miles away.
You're a young kid, you know. You're out there to say, wow, look what they're doing. Look at this, you know. And they never told us, you know, the radiation, after effects or anything.
Bocci points himself out in a photo of young men wearing khaki shorts, short-sleeve shirts, and baseball caps.
That was our protective clothing for the atomic bombs.
After decades of being sworn to secrecy, atomic veterans were finally able to share their experiences in the late 90s. Many realized they suffered from similar health problems, and the VA expanded benefits for some whose diseases the government deemed were linked to radiation exposure. Bocci's heart problems didn't qualify, but he pushed for years with the National Association of Atomic Veterans to at least get a service medal.
They felt that there needed to be some recognition of those of us that were there, that did this, you know, for the country, but forgotten.
But the military says giving out medals for non-combat hazardous service is inconsistent with its awards program. Still, the government is now acknowledging the atomic veterans. Congress required the Pentagon to issue certificates to eligible vets who request them. They haven't started going out yet, but some veterans and their families are disappointed they'll only receive a piece of paper.
That's an insult, really, to these men.
That's Judith Frederick. Her late husband, Walter, was involved in nuclear tests in Nevada in 1955. The Army veteran died in 2017 after battling radiation-related skin cancers and a nerve disease for decades.
A medal is something special, and the atomic veterans are a special class. They gave their lives for this country, and they are still giving their lives for this country, just like anybody that goes to Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, and gets shot.
It's not the first time non-wartime veterans have lost a similar fight. People who served during the Cold War era also pushed for medals but got certificates. Retired Colonel Fred Bork is a military historian who's written about awards. He says he understands why the atomic veterans want a medal, but says it's reasonable the Pentagon limits who gets them.
There's only so much money to go around, and if I'm trying to really take care of my people who are on active duty, and I want to motivate them today, that my policy and my focus has to be on the present and the future.
Still, Judith Frederick is holding out hope she'll get a medal for her husband one day, although she says he was so fed up with the military and the VA that by the time he died, he had no interest in an award.
Let's just say he thought it was too little too late. I feel a little differently about it.
Sitting at her Fort Lauderdale kitchen table, she clutches a letter he wrote to the government in the 80s as he fought for compensation. It's signed, "Yours truly, Guinea Pig." Frederick says she wants the medal to help her grandkids remember her husband's service and sacrifice. I'm Stephanie Colombini in Tampa.
Most Floridians are breathing easier now that Hurricane Dorian has moved away from the state and toward the Carolinas. But the work is not done for NOAA's hurricane hunters in Lakeland. WUSF's Stephanie Colombini joined a crew on a flight into the eye of the storm yesterday evening.
It was a bumpy ride as we made our way into Dorian. The windows were opaque white from the clouds, then flooded with rain until...
should be coming into the eye.
Bright blue skies and a glimmering sun in the eye made it hard to believe we were seeing something that had wreaked so much havoc on land. This was the 14th time this particular plane flew into slow-moving Dorian since it first became a threat in the Caribbean. Crew member Mike Mascaro says that's a lot for one storm.
Our concern with this one is if we fly it for so long that something else is brewing that's going to require immediate attention without a little bit of recovery time in between.
NOAA did send a Hurricane Hunter aircraft into Tropical Storm Fernand in the Gulf of Mexico earlier this week, but that made landfall quickly. The agency has strict protocols about ensuring crew members get rest and aircraft get examined and repaired in between each trip to collect weather data. While it's been a strain on the team, technician Mac McAllister says their ultimate concern is for the people on the ground.
It's frustrating just to know that everybody's across the eastern seaboard has been held in limbo by the storm so much. You know, prayers go out to the people of the Bahamas and what it has caused there, what it could have done to Florida.
NOAA's Hurricane Hunters say they're proud of the work they've done over the past week and a half to help forecasters keep the public informed about Dorian, and they'll be ready for whatever storm comes next. Stephanie Colombini, WUSF 89.7 News.
Some VA hospitals in Florida are teaching veterans how to play the harmonica to improve their breathing. As Health News Florida's Stephanie Colombini reports, it's part of a national program that takes an unconventional approach to treating lung disease.
A dozen or so veterans are sitting around a table at the James A. Haley Veterans Hospital in Tampa, chatting and prepping their small silver harmonicas for a class. Instructor Dave Foles starts by inviting volunteers to show off what they've practiced since the class began a month before. Veteran Jose Cintron gives it a shot with a great deal of encouragement from his peers.
What you got?
Mary had a little lamb.
Mary had a little, all right.
Come on, Mary rolling. Chase that lamb.
There you go.
Practice it once is day one.
Besides military service, participants in this class all share one thing in common. They have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. The condition is commonly caused by smoking or exposure to pollution. Breathing is tough for them. They may wheeze and feel dizzy when they're active or constantly cough up phlegm. Some may end up in the hospital. This class, part of the COPD Foundation's program, Harmonicas for Health, teaches them techniques to strengthen the muscles around their lungs and improve their breathing. Foles, their instructor, is an employee of the hospital who focuses on health promotion. He says the small holes of a harmonica require players to breathe with pursed lips. This mimics a common exercise doctors recommend for patients with COPD.
What we do is we do that with an instrument that makes noises and makes music, and they feel the accomplishment. And I can't tell you how many have told me they'll sit at home and play the harmonica, but they will not sit at home and purse-lip breathe.
Every week, Foles asks classmates to share if the experience is helping. 68-year-old Marine Corps veteran Yoel Alvarez-G says he's already noticed a difference from playing the harmonica. Since developing COPD, breathing in has always been his biggest challenge. He says he struggled with the instrument early on.
Especially with that song, it has about 5 intakes.
Yeah.
I said, and I have to slow down, take my breath again, and start all over. Now I have it under control now.
77-year-old Olaf Olsen says he's been able to clear his lungs more easily and has more stamina when he bikes around town. The former military police officer says he takes his harmonica with him everywhere he goes, even if he doesn't have time for a tune.
Just make noises, just breathe, quick breathing. I found stuff like this. Causes you to use the diaphragm.
Olsen has 4 cats and Alvarez has a puppy. They joked with the class that their pets aren't always their biggest fans when they practice at home.
I got a German Shepherd and I play. He starts howling and he says, whoa, take it easy.
It's the sound of the harmonica.
They want you to play better.
No, because I know if you play bad, they leave.
That banter is half the benefit of the class for Alvarez.
I like it. It's getting together with other vets. Because basically I'm almost like a shut-in. And this has got me to do things outside of my comfort zone.
The community aspect also helps motivate participants to take these exercises seriously. Veteran Olaf Olsen.
You know who practice by when they come in and they do some stuff. And a lot of these guys are doing some fantastic stuff. It's blowing my mind. I'm going, now what am I going to do next week?
Okay. Although not everyone is always very successful.
Somehow we missed a chord here or something.
Instructor Dave Foles says it doesn't matter if they nail every song. So long as they're working on their breathing, it's a job well done. For Health News Florida, I'm Stephanie Colombini.